From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called A Joyous and Victorious Christian Life, a study in the book of Philippians. Although Paul's success in this pagan city was limited, he did see some significant conversions, and from small beginnings a church grew and in many ways had an effective witness for Christ. Writing from captivity in a Roman dungeon some years later, Paul manifested some concerns about the state of the Philippian church. Because of divisions in the church, the attacks of Jewish legalists, and the problem of antinomianism, many in the church were suffering. Some were involved in strife one with another. The efforts of those who sought to seduce the Philippian Christians from following the true gospel of Christ were causing stress in the believers. In the face of these things, Paul declared that the answer was thinking through the gospel. Dr. Cairns will continue this message in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Surgery for Healing. The text is found in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. It is the Lord's way to tear before he heals. This is the honest love of his heart and the sure surgery of his hand. He also bruises before he binds up, or else it would be uncertain work. The law comes before the gospel, the sense of need before the supply of it. Is our listener now under the convincing, crushing hand of the Spirit? Has he received the spirit of bondage again to fear? This is a salutary preliminary to real gospel healing and binding up. Do not despair, dear heart, but come to the Lord with all thy jagged wounds, black bruises, and running sores. He alone can heal, and he delights to do it. It is our Lord's office to bind up the brokenhearted, and he is gloriously at home at it. Let us not linger, but at once return unto the Lord from whom we have gone astray. Let us show him our gaping wounds and beseech him to know his own work and complete it. Will a surgeon make an incision and then leave his patient to bleed to death? Will the Lord pull down our old house and then refuse to build us a better one? Dost thou ever wantonly increase the misery of poor anxious souls? That be far from thee, O Lord.
Serve him with all
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
Thank you. when the mind that was in Christ, the mind that took him from the throne of God down to the depths of Calvary shame, the mind that let him suffer for the good of his church and for the salvation of his church, when that mind gets into you and me, I'll tell you, we'll not be riding our high horse. We'll not be demanding my rights. We'll not be saying, my feelings have been hurt. I demand, I insist. That's the kind of mindset that is not of God. It is the devil getting in among God's people then. We have adopted too much, even in the church, of the philosophy of the world. We take humility to be weakness. Humility is not weakness. Lowly-mindedness is not weakness. Turning away from some brother who demands a fight is not weakness. Putting a curb on the tongue and the natural reaction to such an attack is not weakness. It is Christ-likeness. Christ-likeness is the greatest strength that the church can ever know. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let that be our guide. Let that be our guard. Let that overshadow all our dealings with all of God's people. And as we deal with each other, consciously applying the mind of Christ, consciously dealing with our brethren, first of all, as God has dealt with us. Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We deal with each other as God has dealt with us. We deal with each other as God is dealing with the other. We apply the gospel. Think through the gospel in your relationships with your brethren, and that will overcome strife. The third thing, thinking through the gospel, is the key to overcoming seducers. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this, because I have dealt with it rather largely in the former epistles. But in chapter 3, you've got the Judaizers and the sensualists. Here are the two, apparently the two opposite extremes, but one always produces the other. Legalism always produces sensualism, either as its own natural result or as a reaction to it. And sensualism in the church very often produces legalism as a cover-up for guilt, or again, as a reaction to it. One of the foulest and most wicked people I have ever known in the church was at the same time the most strident legalist I have ever known in the church. And he would bind God's people up as much as he could by his legalism, while he himself was living in awful sin. So these two things often go together. Now, here are the attacks on the church. One is to dilute the gospel of grace, to add works that the Bible doesn't add, to destroy the liberty of the people of God, to bring them under bondage, that you can only be accepted by God not on the merits of the free obedience of Christ, but on some other ground. That's one attack in the church of God. The other is to lead God's people to loose views of morality. Well, we're saved. We're saved by grace. We're saved through faith without works. Therefore, works don't matter. That's the opposite extreme. And where you get that, you have people living in sin. Now you look at the church of Christ today. The gospel of free grace is largely unpreached and unheard. And on the other hand, hundreds of pastors every year have to leave the ministry because of adultery, fornication, and sodomy. Yes, sodomy. Hundreds every year. That's pastors only. Across the congregations of the churches of America, you've got incest. I'm talking about professing Christians. I'm not saying the Christians. But you've got incest. You've got rape. Yes, in churches. You've got fornication. You have sodomites sitting in the pew trying to look like saints. Devils covering up their filth. Immorality rampant. Marriage breakup rampant. Across professing Christianity. Now what's the answer to it? What is the answer? It's one thing to analyze or describe, should I say, the problem. How should we evaluate men, movements, and messages? The answer, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring everything to that touchstone. There are two simple statements I'll make and then I'll leave it. If you look at Philippians chapter 3, I could sum it up in these two statements. Reject all that gives exaltation to the flesh. If you apply that, you'll isolate the false gospels. You'll isolate the legalistic messages. We have no confidence in the flesh. So reject everything that gives exaltation to the flesh. And to deal with sensualism, reject everything that gives expression to the flesh. You think those two things through in the light of the gospel. Evaluate everything according to the central message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank God you'll overcome the seducers. Then, overcoming stress. Now, this really should be a sermon all on its own. Chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful, anxious, or worrisome, or worried, should I say, about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, the Philippians were worried about many things. First of all, they were worried about Paul. Worried he was going to be killed. They were worried about Epaphroditus. They were worried he was going to die. They were worried about the difficulties in their church and the forces that were arrayed against them. They were worried about many things. They were worried about their own situation and the situation of their friends. Now, Paul comes along and he says, do not worry. Now, normally, that is the most inane advice you can ever give to a person. I've often said to you, when you're deeply worried and I come along and just pat you in the back on the way by and say, ah, don't worry, it's simply saying, keep your worries under your own hat, don't bother me, I don't really have time, interest, or inclination to listen. That's all it's saying. Don't worry, doesn't affect me. So it's usually the most inane advice, but not here. Not here. Because Paul was giving them the reasons not to worry. He was telling them the way not to worry. He was giving them the key to overcoming stress. How do you face the things that would cause you distress and introduce tension into your life? How do you deal with them? His answer is, think through the gospel. So he says, you give thanks. In this fourth chapter, you give thanks, you rejoice. But here I'm worried. Look, get your eyes off the immediate circumstances that are causing worry. Get your eyes on God. Get your eyes on Christ. Get your eyes on the gospel. Get your mind filled with the gospel. Start meditating, thinking. Start working this down through your entire system. Get this salvation that you have in Christ and work it down and out into your life. And as you think through, start rejoicing. Think of what you're worrying about today. Has God chosen you in Christ? What you're worrying about will never change it. Has God given Christ to be your Redeemer? What's worrying you will never change it. Has Christ died for your sins? Has He paid the price? Has He reconciled you to God? Has He justified you freely by His grace? Has He brought you into that union with Himself? Has He given you the keys to heaven? Has He given you in your heart the Holy Spirit, the down payment of eternal glory? Has He a place, you could call it a nest, a secure place, a dwelling with the Father for all eternity? Has He given you it, guaranteed it to you? Has He put His own name and His own stamp of security upon it? Then thank God, whatever is worrying you, you can rejoice in those things. Start giving thanks and start rejoicing. And I tell you, you've got the first big step taken to dealing with your worry. Then pray. Pray. Pray with submission and pray with sincere desire. That, I think, would be a fair paraphrase of what he says when in verse 6 he says, with prayer and supplication. Pray with submission and sincere desire. Now, a wee word of advice to you. A lot of people pray, at least they think they pray, they fool themselves into thinking they pray when they are under great pressure and they're not talking to the Lord at all. All they're doing is constantly going over and over like a cracked record, going over and over and over and over all the same old garbage that's worrying them. They never get rid of anything. They never bring anything to the Lord. They just keep reciting and reciting and reciting, and it would drive you crazy. That's not praying. Praying is admitting the difficulties. It's bringing them to the Lord and submitting them to Him. It's putting right anything in our own lives that may lead to those difficulties. It's accepting from the hand of God the discipline that may be causing us much distress, and it's crying to Him for His intervention. And here's the promise: when you quit using up your energy and worry, but in everything by this praying with submission and sincere desire, you make your requests known to God. Here's the promise: the peace of God shall keep your heart and shall keep your, do you notice it? Your mind. The word keep is a military term. It will stand about you like guards on duty. It will be like a garrison of soldiers guarding your mind. You see what Paul is saying? You can only worry on account of the things that are coming into your mind, on account of the things that you are giving place to in your mind, on account of the things that you're thinking through and meditating upon. If you believe the premise of the devil's attack, you are going to be worried. But Paul says, if you think through the gospel, then the gospel will establish so many sentries to your mind and will establish a defense force that the devil cannot penetrate. The peace of God will keep your mind. That's the promise.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.